Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. As you know, we just finished recently a whole series on the book of Revelation. We're going to have that on a flash drive for you very shortly. And the good news is we're beginning a new series now on the book of Daniel. I got a brand new book out, the Daniel Study Guide, and available on the website. She'll put that up for you. And during the program, you'll be able to see the cover and all that. And Doc is here, and we're going to start. We're going to give you a chapter-by-chapter view, just a little summary of the study guide and the book of Daniel. So stand by. All right, good to have everybody here today. Doc is here and raring to go on the book of Daniel. He seems more excited about it than I am, and I did the study guide. And he's got a lot of good stuff, too, and he's got some stuff that he writes about that I don't write about. But so we're going to share some things today from the book of Daniel. Let me start with a verse here in Matthew 24. I think it's verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15 says this, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place," and then in parentheses, "whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which are in the Judea flee into the mountains," and it goes on and on there. I'm reading that, but I want to point out the author of the book of Daniel is Daniel the prophet.
That's right.
He's called a prophet. He's Daniel the prophet. And it's a very prophetic book.
You know, the Jews struggled as to where to put the book of Daniel. Because at a period of time, the book of Daniel was over into the book of histories. Hmm. Because it's all about history to them. And then there were times when they had it here. And then they finally decided it really belongs in the book of prophets. And so that's why we find it in that section of the Old Testament, even though it is filled with history.
And so the author, and this is right out of the study guide here. I've got the manuscript here. The very first thing I say is the author of the book. Of course, the Holy Spirit is breathed on this, but the human author is Daniel, who lived it. And by the way, it covers 70 years, which is what we're going to talk about in a minute here, the 70-year captivity.
Right.
But before we get to that, Doc, I think it's important to go before Daniel and show the folks what has happened up till the book of Daniel. That's very important. And that's the 10 tribes of Israel, the northern tribes.
Well, of course, after Solomon, we know that the kingdom was divided.
Yeah.
We had the 10 kings of the north, the 10 kingdoms of the
north. The two Boam boys.
Yeah, the Boams. Jeroboam, Rehoboam. Anyway, so the 10 tribes in the north became known as Israel.
Yeah.
And the two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin, became known as Judah.
And that's where Jerusalem
is. That's where Jerusalem is. And, of course, you've got a lot of history in the book of the Kings there to give you information about those things. And so 117 years before the book of Daniel, the northern kingdom had been taken captive by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were ruthless people. And they tried to break the culture and the history. So they would take people out of this group and put them over another of their occupied kingdom and out of that. And so that's why the Samaritans, even in Jesus' day, were mixed breed people because of all of that.
Yeah.
So 117 years before this, the northern kingdom has been under the bondage and in servitude to the Assyrians. So the book of Daniel takes place early 600 B.C. And what's happened is Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians have risen in power. They're occupying, and they have now gone and taken over Assyria. So everything that's under Assyrian control is now under Babylonian control. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming down out of Assyria. They're making their way down, and they come by the northern kingdom, Israel, to make sure that they understand you're in servitude to us. And then they come in, and they take captive here in chapter 20, or in 20 years before they actually come back and destroy Jerusalem. That's when Daniel, the book of Daniel starts.
Okay. Now, I put here the dates covered by the book of Daniel, and these are approximate. I mean, different people say mm-hmm. different things, you know, but 600, yeah. 605 B.C.
I think that's probably right.
And I've got till around 535. Some people say 537, mm-hmm. but it's approximately, it's about 70 years, which is how long that captivity is going to be.
It is 70. Daniel is a young man to start with, and he's an old man when it's over, but he lived through it all, and served four kings.
And we'll talk about the captivity in a minute, because it's very important that folks understand what the captivity is mm-hmm. and how it apply, how it fits in the Bible and
right.
history here. And I mean, there's whole books of the Bible that revolve around that one little 70-year period of history. And so very important. So Daniel 605. Now, let's also help people with this, because it's confusing. And we take for granted sometimes. That's why we wrote this Bible terminology mm-hmm. book. We throw stuff out there all the time, and some of the audience are going, what is that?
Right.
So let's explain what we mean by B.C. Why don't you tackle that?
Well, we call it before Christ.
Yeah.
And they have a new terminology, B.C.E. I forget exactly all those terms. They're doing everything to do away with B.C. and A.D. because they want to remove anything in history that has to do with Christ.
Yeah.
So the world has come up with two new terms, but when we say B.C., that's what we're talking about. And, of course, there's no such thing as a zero between B.C. and A.D. Matter of fact, there's about a four-year period of time there that the calendars really don't overlap.
Yeah, and that's why we can't fully trust our calendars.
That's right.
We're not sure exactly where things are at there. But So just to reiterate this, when you say 4,000 B.C., you're talking creation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As the number gets smaller, you're getting closer to the cross or the birth of Christ, whichever it is there, the time of Christ. Yeah. So before Christ, after Christ, A.D. So the calendar changes.
It's 598 is not only less than 600, but it's closer to the countdown.
Yeah.
It's a countdown to the...
So 50 B.C. would be 50 years before Christ
That's
comes
right.
on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I know some of you, most of you are saying, well, we understand this, but
not everybody
that don't.
Does.
So,
no.
And it is confusing.
Yeah, it is, because when you're trying to count on a calendar, we think of counting it up, but you've got to look at it when it counts down.
Yeah.
It can get confusing.
So 4,000 counts down to zero, and then zero counts up to 2024, which isn't really correct, but... Because they started that calendar
Very doubtful,
at his death, or at his birth instead of his death, and it's supposed to, you know. So there's another 30 some years there. All right. So, Book of Daniel. Daniel the prophet, and I quoted Matthew 24:15 just to prove that he's the author of this book.
We don't know a whole lot about Daniel, other than what the Bible does say about him. Being a prophet.
I didn't find any genealogy of his parents.
Not a whole lot said there, other than we know...
He's of the king's seed.
Yeah. And that means that somewhere down the line, he is a descendant of King David.
Yeah.
But he's not the only one. There are three other Hebrew boys.
Yeah.
And they're also of the king's seed.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody says, well, I wonder if they knew each other. Well, I'm sure they did, because if you're a king's seed, it might be a 10th generation, but you're still a cousin.
Yeah. All right. And, of course, it's believed that he's 17. You got any idea how people have come up with that?
Well,
I've heard that all my life. I don't know for sure.
It's very probable, because had he been over 20... He would have, if he'd have been over 20, he had already been in the army, and he was not a part of the army.
And he'd be dead.
Yeah. And so he's not a part of the army. He's still of the king's seed. He's no doubt a later teenager, They were choosing out young men. That was what Nebuchadnezzar told, what's his name, Alphinezer? No, that's not the name. Who is it that's over the eunuchs that's over choosing them out? Yeah. Anyway, he's told to choose out goodly looking, handsome, healthy, and smart.
Yeah.
And so it's obvious that he's what we would call high school age or getting ready to be college age individual.
And I write about that somewhere in here, and I'm not going to try to find it. I write about the fact that King Nebuchadnezzar ordered the prince of the eunuch and others to choose out the goodly ones. And I don't think it's necessarily good looking. I think it's people of good upbringing, good stock,
I'm thinking that's part of it, but I'm thinking
educated.
That I think education was the main part of this.
He wanted to use, the guy was smart.
Nebuchadnezzar, his approach was not the same as the Assyrians. His approach was not to remove anybody from their land, but to be able to take the people of their land, indoctrinate them in our philosophy so that they can lead their people in that philosophy.
Yeah.
And so it was opposite of what the Assyrians had done.
Now, there were thousands taken, some scattered.
Oh, yeah.
And some were there. Mm-hmm. It's a big place.
And it'll be years later when he comes back and really destroys the temple and all of that. Between that time, there are people that are still under servitude. The king at the moment is put under servitude to the, that's the only way he stayed alive.
Yeah.
And so these are young men. We don't understand because we have a hard time viewing this book and the times of that day because we try to look at it through our Western culture.
Yeah,
a 17 or 18 year old boy would have been about the equivalent with a 25 year old man or a 30 year old man in our world today with ability, with all of the ability that would have been needed to survive in life.
This was a great prize for Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes,
most of the world didn't read and didn't have. Good character, didn't have etiquette and cleanliness. And these are Jews. These are Hebrew people.
They had their language. They had their scribes. But it is obvious from both archaeological discovery and putting it all together, it is obvious that the Jewish mind was at the top of all of those in that day. Yeah. And so he recognized that. He's planning to take over the Assyrian Empire, and he's already studied these things. He's already, if you had time to go back into the Book of Kings, he's already sent emissaries there, and they've already exposed themselves of what they have. And Jeremiah said, boy, you made a mistake in doing that. And so he already understands it. These guys can be used in my administration, but I've got to have the quality that I can indoctrinate and use.
Now, I think the reason he wanted young men is he's more apt to be able to sway that young person over to his belief system and get him to be a good citizen.
And it's pretty obvious that they were not the only four. There had to have been others.
Oh, yeah, there were hundreds.
But we don't know where Daniel was when you get to the chapter,
fiery furnace,
the fiery furnace. We don't know where Daniel was, but we know that those three men stood and didn't participate in what we'll discuss when we get to that. But there were others, so it's obvious that there may have been some of that king seed that succumbed to all of that.
Yeah.
But these three didn't, and Daniel, all four of them.
And we'll get to the 70 weeks here, but or the 70-year captivity. But we've already mentioned several things. There's so much in the book of Daniel. You got the fiery furnace.
Mm.
You got the statue of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. You got the Daniel's dream of that same story, only it's wild beasts.
Yeah.
You got Daniel and the lion's den. These are famous Bible stories,
and we'll be showing you some slides throughout the series that we'll be doing. We I'll show you an actual slide of the actual fiery furnace rooms.
Doc has actual pictures because he was there when it happened.
No, I wasn't there, but because of my association with our museum, I know the head archaeologist that verified the finds there.
Yeah.
And we'll show that picture. But we'll also look at how the book of Daniel is not put in chronological order, chapter-wise, in time. Some of the chapters, we read it and you think, well, this is then the next and that's the next. But there are two chapters that actually belong over the top of two other chapters before it.
Yeah.
And so these are things that you need to understand a little bit. When preachers call me and say, I'm getting ready to teach the book of Daniel, I tell them the first thing you need to do, you need to understand the chapters are not in sequential order.
So let's tackle the seven-year captivity. And I want to make this clear. Here's some confusion. And I even said it wrong a minute ago. The 70th week and the 70-year captivity are not the same thing at all.
Oh, no.
And but you can see why this book was important to explain terminology.
Yeah. No.
I can see somebody that's not deep into this stuff getting confused about the 70th week and the 70-year
captivity.
Well, the
number 70 is a very unique number, but that would be for another study. But this is in reference to 70 years of captivity that's going to begin, and we're given in chapter 1, we're given dates of kings so that we can know exactly when this thing starts.
And I share some things in here about who the last king of Israel is when this happened. He's not the last king.
No.
But he's the last king up until the captivity.
Yeah.
And not a very good guy.
Nope. Not a very good king at all.
And anyway, I share about him, and he's taken captive. Mm-hmm. And he's not killed, and he loses his power, but he's not killed.
He was just in servitude, and that's not an uncommon thing for the way the Babylonians did.
Yeah. And so we show that he's taken captive. This is 605 B.C., right in Daniel chapter 1. Mm-hmm. This all begins, the captivity, and they take the young men, begin taking them to Babylon.
Yeah.
They're going to train them. They're going to feed them certain foods. They're going to try to make them healthy. They want to make them useful to the kingdom of Babylon. That's smart. I mean,
the whole idea was to be able, if I can take somebody from your family and I can get them convinced of me, then I can have them to control your family.
Yeah.
This is the idea of it.
And Daniel's going to excel greatly.
Oh, he doesn't. Nobody knows. Daniel doesn't know at this time. He's just a young man. The king doesn't know. Now, by the end of 3 years, the king realizes, wait a minute, this young man is something special.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're granted
special things.
Yeah.
After that period.
Yeah.
And, of course, Daniel's going to interpret some dreams for the king.
And he's going to interpret some handwritings on the walls and other things.
Yeah.
Daniel is going to, throughout all, he's actually going to serve four different kings.
Can you imagine Belshazzar brings Daniel in? What's it say?
Yeah.
It's in Hebrew. What's it say? Can
you
imagine you're reading that in your mind? Do I want to tell this guy what that says? He's going to kill me.
Yeah.
You know, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting.
Well,
he probably wasn't
too fearful because at that time, Daniel would be considered third in kingdom.
Yeah.
And so his father, Belshazzar's father, Nebuchadnezzar, is the one who made Daniel that position. But it would have been an interesting thing to have
While
been.
He's reading it, I think they're coming through the sewers. And they came in and invaded the city, took the city.
Yep. They're slipping into town at the moment.
So Daniel lives into the next world kingdom, Persia, the Medes and the Persians. Daniel, and we're getting ahead of ourselves.
He served under these two kings and these other two. It's amazing.
And that's part of the 70-year captivity.
But before we get into that, let's help people understand why the 70-year.
Okay.
You see, God gave the law to the Jews. And there are a lot of things about the laws that is applicable to everybody. But the actual law was given to the Jews, and the purpose for the law was many faceted. First of all, it was going to be a picture and type of redemption that was coming. But the law itself was, if you abide with this, and you do, and in the wilderness, they said to Moses, when Moses said, this is what God wants. And the people said, this is what we'll do. And God said through Moses, you do what I ask you to do, I'll do what I promise to do. And so the law was, if they kept it, they would have the rights to live at peace in the land.
Yeah.
But they did not keep it. And they had not taken the years of Shemitah. They had not laid the land aside.
The sabbatical cycle.
The sabbatical cycle.
For 490 years they didn't.
They owed God 70 years.
Yep.
And so because they did not keep their commitment, God wasn't bound to let them stay in the land.
Yep.
But God had a purpose through Israel in the future to have a body prepared for Jesus to do redemption. So in order to do that, he places them here in captivity for 7 years.
70, yeah.
Hopefully for them to learn their lesson. But they never learned their lesson. Yeah. They haven't learned it yet today. Yeah. And they won't till the end of the tribulation, but anyway.
Okay.
That's why they're going into captivity, because they had violated their commitment to God, and they no longer had right to stay there.
And it's interesting, Doc. It's in Daniel. I forget where it is. We'll get to it later. But Daniel is reading in books. He's old enough. He's in his late 80s,
he's reading Jeremiah.
And he reads that the captivity is going to last 70 years. Yep. And I think, I joke about it. I picture him jumping up. Honey, where's the calendar? Where's my calendar? And he starts figuring, all right, here's where it started. Hey, we're there. It's over.
Yep.
And that's pretty kind of humorous.
Well, I'm convinced that when he got to that point, that's about how he felt.
And that's where Ezra's going to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's at the same time Darius is the king.
Yep.
That's the same time that the book of Esther is going to be.
Yep.
People don't realize that the story of Esther is right here.
Right there somewhere.
Even though it's back over here in the book of histories, because it is a history book.
Yep.
But the actual events is taking place here. And just because Ezra and Nehemiah are back over here in the book of histories, it's actually taking place
here. So we got Jeremiah and Ezekiel, those great big books that are right at the beginning, right before the captivity and a little bit during. Isaiah is
dealing with the nations in the north, but Jeremiah and Ezekiel, man, they're dealing with this situation.
Yeah, and then you got Daniel, and then you got, after the captivity, you got Esther, of course,
mm-hmm.
then Ezra, because the captivity is over, they've gone to the king and pleaded.
I'm not sure the captivity was quite over yet in the book of Esther.
Because maybe it wasn't.
It was at the end of the 70 years.
Yeah.
And Ezra is going to be at the end of it, and Nehemiah is going to be just after it.
The temple, rebuilding the temple. Yeah. Nehemiah is building the walls around
and
it.
And closing it in the city.
And then you got some other books there. Yeah. So look at all them big books. Look at all that that revolves around the book of Daniel, the 70 years.
Right.
You realize, folks, how much that will help you understanding the layout of your Bible. Just that little 70-year captive. That's why I make such a big deal of it, and we'll have a passage here.
Probably next week we'll have a slide, because we needed to have probably done it today, showing where all of the books, minor prophets, where all of those books fit in, as well as the book of histories in the Old Testament, and to see how some of those overlap each other.
Yeah.
It really will help you.
All right. Quickly, Doc, some main characters. Let's put you to the test here. I've got some written down here.
Well, I already proved I can't remember the eunuch's name.
Well, the prince of the eunuchs.
The prince of the eunuchs. I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah. And Daniel the prophet is obvious. He's the main character, but there's others. We mentioned the three Hebrew boys.
Yes.
The three, they're famous for the furnace, the fiery furnace. Hey, there's the fourth man in the fire.
Yeah.
And I believe that's Jesus, no doubt about that. That's the Lord.
Well, even it seemed to be even revealed to Nebuchadnezzar that it was.
Yeah, he said that the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when we'll be able to talk about some things there.
But they didn't know nothing in the Old Testament, they tell us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
King Nebuchadnezzar is a huge character in the book.
Yes.
And he's gonna have a...
And it's his life and an event in his life in chapter number 4... that gives all of us in prophecy an understanding of how to count prophetic time.
Yeah.
Because of the he spends those 7 years as a wild man, seven past. That's where we get the understanding that a week
is
not 7 days, but it's 7 years.
We also see that with Isaac and the taking of his two wives. You know, he worked a week, fulfill her week. Yep, 7 years. Belshazzar is Nebuchadnezzar's son.
He sees
the handwriting on the wall.
He's a poor character, obviously. Nebuchadnezzar took the things from the temple, which was only natural. When you took over a kingdom, your God was bigger than their God. So you took the things that belonged to their God and brought them into your God's temple.
Yeah.
But Belshazzar, he wanted to use it.
Yeah, and he mocked God. He was drinking his wine out of the vessels from the temple.
He was viewing it differently.
Yeah. That just shows the generation gap from dad.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. And we see that even in churches sometimes.
Yes.
Yours is an exception to the rule. Yeah. Your son took over your church. Yeah. And that's wonderful if it's God's will, but a lot of times it's pushed.
Yeah.
And it's not God's will, and usually don't turn out right. You got at least two Persian kings, right?
Yes.
You mentioned Darius. Cyrus, right?
Cyrus the Great.
So it's at least those two, right?
Darius the Mede, yeah.
Yeah. And then you got another character here called Michael the Prince.
Yes.
That's an angel.
Yeah.
And but then you also got the Prince of Persia. That's Satan.
Boy, I'm telling you. And that's what we're seeing today in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Is the Prince of Persia has stirred up the Persians again, the Iranians.
So that's the main characters. The book, it's a book of prophecy. And then I give my thing out of my seven laws, how to understand the Bible, literal, figurative, prophetic. I have that whole section in here.
It is a book of history. But when you get to chapter 9, chapter 10, and 11 and 12, it's all prophecy.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And even the history is prophetic in chapter 2 and chapter 7.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. We're out of time just about here. I hope that's been a good introduction to help you understand. Get the book. I don't know if she put it up. If she didn't, we'll get it up there. The Daniel Study Guide's on the website. Go to Protestant Spotlight. You'll see it there. And it'd be exciting for you. It'd be very helpful to your understanding of Revelation. The two go together.
Yes.
And I hope you know Jesus. Hope you're ready to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're not sure about your salvation, you need some help with that, contact us. We'd love to chat with you and help you. All right. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.